You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, March 25th, episode 3393, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, everybody. It's officially travel week.
Take off with us on the first annual Horses in the Morning Equestrian Travel Week, an entire week devoted to your future equestrian travels.
I got Chili in there.
I heard him. There he is.
Because you can't have a travel week without Chili involved. Well, welcome to Travel Week. This is a fun idea that actually Ashley came up with, doing some theme weeks this year. And this is the first of four theme weeks that we're going to be doing this year. And we thought, what better thing to do in spring than kick it off with Equestrian Travel Week. Today, we're talking about Iceland. And what's his name that we're going to be talking to?
He's coming on.
He's going to be coming on to talk about a beautiful resort they have in Iceland where you can go trail riding. And also, we're going to be talking to the founders of the Equestrian Travel Association and learn more about the association, how they can help you with your travel. And also a new travel podcast they're going to be doing right here once a month on Horses in the Morning. And then in the Auditor Post Show, did Jamie get the Craigslist horse she was talking about on Friday? And of course, Equestrian First World Problems. We'll do that in the Auditor Post Show. So it is Travel Week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week, we're going to be talking all things travel. We're going to have various guests on from around the world talking about their places, things to do, fun places to go. We'll be talking a little bit about our equestrian travels as well. It's funny, we were talking in the pre-show, Jamie and I were, about all the places she's been, and she went, wow, I really have traveled. You really have more than
you thought you did.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is you remembered more than I did. I was like, oh, yeah.
It's like you went there. You went there. So we'll talk about our adventures as well. But first, what was the one event that brought Dude Ranches to the forefront of the consciousness of America and quadrupled their bookings in 1 month?
I wouldn't call it an event, but yes, I do know that you're talking about the movie City Slickers. Yes.
The event was City Slickers being released to theaters.
That okay, the there event. You go.
Do you realize that was in 1991?
Wow, that's crazy.
That's a while ago.
Yeah, so I went to a Dude Ranch as a kid in the early 80s, and I remember saying to my dad, I'm like, this is not at all like the ranch we went to. I was like, not at all. This one's way different.
It was filmed, City Slickers mostly filmed in Colorado in La Plata County. It cost $27 million to make and grossed $79 million, thanks to Billy Crystal. I think it was one of his best roles ever. And of course, you know, Jack Palance was in that, you know, and of course, Jack Palance helped make that movie. Actually, Jack Palance, for his role as Curly, won the 1992 Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
And oh, wow.
Do you remember he got on stage and he did one-armed push-ups? He did 10 of them during his acceptance speech.
I did not remember that.
He did. To prove he was as tough as Curly, he got down and actually did him in his tux or whatever. So yeah, that was that was really cool. And then, do you remember the cow birthing scene that Billy Crystal got into during that
yes.
movie? Well, it was a fake cow, but it was a real calf. So what they did is they took the 6-day-old calf, they covered him in what they said non-toxic gel, and they put him inside of a fake cow. And he actually did pull the real calf out of a fake cow, but the calf was like 6 days old.
I bet cattle people were like, that ain't no baby.
No. And I find, if we look back at it now, we probably could tell it's a fake cow. And they said the scene was accomplished in one take. And I'm sure Billy was really happy about that. So there you go. City Slickers. Do you think that one holds up if we'd watch it again?
You know what? I haven't watched that one with Lucas, so I will put that on the list.
That's a perfect one to watch with Lucas, I think.
And my dad's in town, and he'll love that.
Oh, that'd be great. There you go. I planned your activity for the night. You got something to do tonight. Well, we are still going to do some Daily Winnies during Travel Week. Because if I missed auditor birthdays for an entire week, I'd be traveling right off the show. Happy birthday to Alicia Sky Barton and Leslie Covington. Do you realize Leslie Covington was one of our first auditors in 2014?
That's awesome.
She was like the first or second person to be let into the auditor room. That's how long she's been with us. Also, one of our brand new auditors, Victoria Malone, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you being part of our group.
A three-day eventer wearing a helmet won Road to the Horse.
I think my favorite part was he was there in a helmet the whole time.
I love it. I mean, those who wear a helmet can't ride without a helmet because then you're like, I feel naked. And Tick Maynard, congratulations to winning Road to the Horse. I don't watch much of that stuff because a lot of it makes me like angry, you know, like sometimes it's too cringy. Some of it's very cringy, but apparently he was not cringy to watch and really used kind of better techniques as you would expect from Tick. So congratulations to Tick showing everybody that there's a better way. I mean, that's kind of the whole mission of Monty. And I know he spent some time with Monty and has been out to flag his up and just.
Oh, his training philosophies are a lot alike Monty's. Actually.
Yeah.
He kind of does join up and all that stuff. Yeah.
It's just so such a different way than the cowboy way of doing things that I heard. I mean, I did not watch, to be fair, but I followed along with a lot of the chats.
It was interesting watching.
And I did hear that there was like, you know, a horse that bucked somebody off and then they punished him and then he couldn't get close to the horse again. And like, you can't spank a horse. You just can't do it. Especially when you're trying to get them to trust you. You just, violence is just never the answer. Okay. It just doesn't work. So I think what Tick proved from what I would have been reading is that kindness and trust won the day, which makes me incredibly happy and very proud. So congratulations, Tick, and your whole family was there. And the pictures after the horse trial, after the event, were just so wonderful. And he was so happy. And I love it. I was looking at the judges and David O'Connor was the judge.
That was the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah. So David O'Connor was a judge and he was standing alongside a bunch of grizzled old cowboys, like bareback riders, bronc riders, colt starters, like, and it was just like all of these in a row. And then everybody had a cowboy hat on, and then there's David O'Connor, which was awesome. So very cool. Congratulations, Tick. I didn't realize that prize money was $75,000.
He'll pay the mortgage for a few months now. Yeah, $75,000. That's awesome. It's a lot. It's always been a lot, though.
What do they do? One of the questions I had: what do they do with the horses after the competition? Do they have a chance to buy the horse?
Yeah,
the
competitor, a lot of them do take the horses home. I don't know if they buy them. I don't know what they pay for them. I'm sure a lot of them go back to the Four Sixes Ranch. You know, they just go back and become working horses. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, Four Sixes Ranch is a little big. It needs some horses. I don't know. I know some of them do take them home. I don't know what Tick did with his.
It'd be interesting to find out. Well, we're going to try to get him on for the next week and hear his take on it. And I know he worked really hard and he practiced really hard. I heard an interview with Sinead, his wife, and I mean, they're just great people. Like, they're just great people. I followed them on Facebook and we've had them on several times, and I just couldn't be more excited that a competition like this was won by an inventor wearing a helmet. It just makes me so happy.
And I think it was only the second time that somebody from the English side has won it. And that was the can't remember her name now, the girl from New Zealand. We had her on too, who had won at that time. But yeah, good job. Hey, we were talking about dude ranches earlier. I wanted to mention that there are 100-plus dude ranches in the United States, and a good place to research them, the best place I found is a website called duderanch.com. And it is it gives you a breakdown on each one, the costs, what they include, where they are, you know, weather. It just is a very good resource. It's called duderanch.com. There's also the Dude Ranchers Association, who I think we've had on the show in the past, too. And USA Today just did an article on the 10 best dude ranches in the United States. So I'll post that link. You can check that out as well. And you can check out what USA Today thinks are the best dude ranches. But I wanted to mention all of those and good resources to find some dude ranches if you want to travel to a dude ranch in the United States. Well, Worm Flooring now does trailer roofs. Leaky roofs are a common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm Flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. We were supposed to get our floor done, and then our trailer cost us about $1,500 to get the inside stuff fixed because everything broke at once. I talked about that. So we had to postpone getting the floor done. I think I'm going to get the roof done first because living in Florida, one of the things that this sealer does on your roof is it keeps you 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. And I was thinking, you know, we could really use that, even hauling the horses back and forth to a place when it's so hot like it is in Florida. That would be a wonderful thing. So ditch the duct tape and buckets and invest in long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish, and it's only $7.50 per square foot, and that's a steal for a cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV. And that means happier horses and happier people, too. Head on over to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you for Seal and Chill.
I got to say, I'm looking at this Dude Ranch list from USA Today, and ain't no way in hell I go to half these places. There are because half of these are in Arizona.
Oh.
And one is down by the Arizona-Mexico border, and I have been there. There was a horse trial down there in Sonoyta, Arizona, and it is like desert and brush, and there are some like pop-up mountains, but you're in the desert. You better have some sunscreen on.
I was wondering why they picked Arizona for some of these, actually.
And Wickenburg is kind of like halfway in between Phoenix and Flagstaff, and so it's just kind of high desert. I'm sorry if people are listening that live there, but I lived in Arizona for 10 years and
The one in Harrison, Idaho stuck out to me. I went in and looked at the pictures and stuff, and that looked like a pretty cool place. I like forests rather than sand myself.
Well, I'm like, the wildlife in southern Arizona is like snakes and Gila monsters and black widow spiders and scorpions.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking at like, oh, you could also be up near Yellowstone with like buffalo,
yeah,
moose and elk and bear and deer, like antelope. Like,
I'll take that.
I'm gonna go with that one.
All right, let's go to our first guest. They're from the Equestrian Travel Association. Jennifer and Megan are joining us, and they're going to be doing the Equestrian Travel Podcast, and that's going to be once a month on Horses in the Morning. Well, Jennifer and Megan, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much
for having us.
Well, Jennifer, tell us, what is the Equestrian Travel Association?
So the Equestrian Travel Association helps to bring businesses to the forefront that exhibit the standards of care for their horses, amenities for their guests, for equestrian travelers worldwide. We also have and sponsor the Equestrian Travel Guide, which is set to launch in the spring. And that's to bring these business members that are part of the Equestrian Travel Association together with consumers that are passionate about equestrian travel, and are looking for various getaways worldwide.
And Megan, I know you guys are kind of picky about who you let in as far as the places where people can go, right?
Correct. Yes. Because we have the Equestrian Travel Association, we have a set standards for horse care and customer service. So, and we have different membership levels. And at the top tier, our gold member upheld to those standards. And we actually go out and visit those members to make sure that they are upholding to those standards for horse care and customer service.
I'm glad about that because we sponsor cruises almost every year, and we're always going to islands, and everybody always wants to go trail riding because we're all horse people, right? And we research the places, and you know what? Half of them we can't recommend, and we don't recommend that they go ride there.
Yes, yes. And that's why this was founded. That was my experience doing that myself. And so just to bring those businesses together so we can market it that to the consumer that is looking to do those types of equestrian travel experiences.
And this is Jennifer. When do you expect the launch to be for the website?
We believe it's going to be in April timeframe. We're finalizing a few things with the website, and so we are looking at an April launch.
Well, Megan, this must have been a ton of work if you're going out and visit these places. I mean, fun work, but work.
Yes. It's been a lot of fun over the years. I started it in 2011, so it's been definitely a passion project of mine, and then bringing Jennifer on as my business partner.
And this is a relaunch, right, Megan? Because we have talked to you on the show before years ago.
Correct. This is a relaunch. Unfortunately, with COVID and people not traveling as much, the association kind of went quiet for a while. And unfortunately, some of our members lost their businesses during that time.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing it back. I think there's a need for it because when you're going someplace, there's nothing worse than a horse person going someplace and getting there and the horses are not cared for like they should be, because that just makes the whole trip miserable then, right?
Correct. Yes, it really does. And then you feel like you have to do something about that.
All right. I'm going to start with Jennifer. Do you have an equestrian trip that you took that just really, I know you've done a lot of them, but there's one that stands out to you?
Yeah. So back in 2016, I believe, I can't believe it's that long ago, I traveled to Spain, Segovia, Spain, specifically in the Gredos Mountains, and took a 6-day horse trip. The first 3 days were through the Gredos Mountains. We were riding Andalusians and a bunch of PRE horses. The scenery was spectacular. The food was spectacular. It was incredibly memorable. And the second half of the trip, actually, we went to a small town and there was a jumping stable and they wanted their jumpers to go out on these 3 to 6 hour trail rides. So we took the show jumpers out and actually rode from town to town and stayed in old monasteries, stayed in these very small stone buildings. Again, wonderful food, wonderful company. They would set lunch out for us, and it was just incredible, absolutely incredible and inspiring.
That sounds like the ultimate horse girl vacation, right?
It was. It's just unbelievable. I ate better than I ever have in my own home. And then, of course, we had the horses, and we put them up in each stable in the town as we arrived. And you really got to grow close with the horse you were riding, even though it was only 3 or 4 days in each grouping. You did the tacking and the untacking and feeding and just the general care. So you really, even during that short period of time, got to partner with the horse that you were on. And it was incredibly special.
Did you pee off and passage all the way across the mountains?
I wish. We did a lot of galloping. That was great. I will tell you, the wind through your hair, the snow-capped mountains, there was very little collection in any of the games. We were off to from the beginning to the end.
So. I don't know how you're going to beat that one, Megan. How are you going to beat that one?
Yeah, that's a good one. One of the most epic vacations that I took was actually out in California, where I did a 5-day endurance ride. And this woman is a ex-endurance rider. She traveled all over the world, and she had these
Arabians that we used for 5 days, and she taught us all about endurance riding to the point where we'd stop, take the horse's temperature, things like that, like everything that you would do. And on the final day, we did a 75-mile ride, and it was incredible. We were up in the mountains of Northern California. We were riding the last stretch was 10 miles. It was on the 10-mile beach, and we literally galloped home. And just to see the different landscapes of California and our country was just amazing. One day we're on the beaches galloping, the next day we're in the mountains. And it was just a really fun and really educational experience. It was definitely for more experienced riders, but it was just incredible. It was just an incredible experience. And it was really, you really got to bond with the horses, and because you rode the same one all week and all the people, and just became like a very family kind of experience that we all bonded over.
That's terrific. That sounds like fun. So tell us about the podcast, Jennifer. You're obviously going to be on Horses in the Morning once a month, but you'll have your own feed and everything. What's it called?
It's called Galloping Getaways. Megan and I will be not only talking with each other, sharing the experiences that we've had, but also looking to have guests on that have had equestrian travel experiences, wonderful ones they want to share. And then also to feature the gold member. As Megan mentioned, we have the membership tiers, our gold member, which is our top tier membership at the Equestrian Travel Association, feature those businesses and talk with them about the experiences they offer, the amenities, just their business in general. And then we also are looking to have an educational component at times, maybe have on different individuals that can give business guidance or can offer horse care information, and just, you know, have various interviews that really span or run the gamut of various things in the horse business. But mostly the feature is going to be the gold tier businesses and giving them an opportunity to share.
I think that's great. I've always wanted to have a travel show, as I told you guys. I've always wanted to have a travel show for the last 14 years on the network. And I'm so excited that we're finally doing that. I'm excited to hear about all the different places. And I know that you guys have vetted them, so we know they're going to be good to go to. And I'm really excited for your website, for the revamp, and for the guide to come out, the travel guide. So are we looking at starting the podcast in May? Is that the goal?
Yes. Yes, that would be the goal.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. What's the website again, Jennifer?
It is rideeta.com.
Rideeta.com. And of course, we'll have you back on when the first episode comes out and chat about that. But otherwise, good luck with getting it all done. And we're looking forward to seeing the finished product. So if you had to pick one of those two, I know which one you'd pick. It wouldn't be the endurance riding for a week.
Oh my, I was like, I mean, that's cool. Like the crash course and learning a sport. No.
You're going to pee off across the mountains, aren't you?
I am hopping on an Andalusian and galloping wherever they'll let me go. I did get to go to Spain and have that kind of like equestrian Andalusian experience, and I would do it again. I would leave right now. I gotta go. Bye. I would go that fast. It was so amazing.
Well, it sounds like she really had two different experiences in 1 week too, right?
Yeah.
And that was cool. That was very cool. There's so much out there that you don't even know about it. So let's hear about Cosequin, and then we're going to find out about another place. One of the most traveled places right now. Equestrians either want to go to Mongolia or Iceland. And we're going to talk to Gudmundur?
Gudmundur John Vidarsson.
We're going with that.
I'm just going to call him John.
He's from Skálakot. Skálakot.
We're so bad.
Iceland days are tough.
Oh, sorry, John. Cosequin ASU joint and hoof pellets contain quality ingredients to support joint and hoof health and leave out the fillers, molasses, and alfalfa, all while still delivering the taste horses love. The color of their ingredients shine through for a difference you can see. Visit CosequinEquine.com. Oh, well, I would love to welcome to this show. Okay, I just got a lesson on pronunciation. Gufmunder, thank you so much for being... Did I say it okay?
Yeah. Everything okay.
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about your place in Iceland. It's in Skálakot?
Skálakot, yes.
And you have a ranch there?
It is just a farm in the southeast part of Iceland.
All right.
You know, and I'm owner of a farm here, and driving farm with horses, and I'm also quite big in tourism and all kinds of using of horses and accommodation.
So tell us a little bit about the horse experiences that you offer.
I am both with a long tours in the highland of Iceland in the summertime, but also riding around the farm the year round, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, half day, 1 day, you know, 2 days around the farm.
Well, I looked at your website and your place is absolutely beautiful and the scenery is incredible as well. So when people book with you, they have the opportunity to come to the farm and stay in that beautiful chalet.
Yeah. You can. You can just go on skálakot.com and just book through that. That's no
gotcha.
Problem.
Are all of the rides guided rides? Are there people with you, or is it take the horses and see you in an hour?
Oh no! Always guided. It's an island. I can lost my people if I just tell them to go. They never come back.
That's what I was worried about. I would get lost.
No. I am holding here 10 girls probably in the summertime. Mostly from Europe, sometimes from the States. Who are working here, you know, as a guiding.
Okay.
Guiding persons.
You know, the other thing I noticed with your day tours, you have a glacier tour. You have everything from a glacier tour to a beach tour, so you can do a little bit of, see a lot of everything, actually.
Yeah, it is. Skálakot is, you remember maybe the Eyjafjallajökull who had eruption here 2010? It is my neighbor here.
Ah, are you close to the volcanoes now?
Sorry?
Are you close to the volcanoes that are happening now?
No, that's in Keflavik. That's in the southwest corner of Iceland. But it is probably a straight line, 150 miles or something, okay. 200 miles.
Okay.
Now, as far as the rides go, what type of horses are people riding? Are they all Icelandics?
All Icelandic. The only horses in Iceland is Icelandic.
Oh.
We just have one brand here in Iceland.
So you ride an Icelandic or you don't ride?
I ride, and I'm riding.
That's great.
I'm nearly 60 now, so I am. It is a little bit where when the business going well. I am just a farmer here, and I am everywhere and nowhere.
What type of farming do you do?
I am holding here 160 horses.
Wow!
And 350 sheep.
Oh wow! So is that just for the wool?
Wool and meat.
Oh, yeah, okay. And what? Now, I saw a restaurant at your hotel, too. So what kind of food? What kind of food can people expect when they stay with you?
I am just having fish and fish and meat and veggie or everything. Well, I think people are happy here with on my restaurant. We are not with a bistro. We are more, we can say, three courses, you know, and so yeah, it's all kinds.
Gotcha.
Wonderful.
And we tailor made also for people if people want to, some special things.
So Jamie's a vegetarian. You could make sure she eats.
No,
yeah, yeah, I can do everything. We have a good fish in Iceland, I can tell you.
I bet you do.
We have a good fish.
I bet you do in Iceland.
Sorry.
Yeah. The website is skalakot.is, and that is where people can go and look and learn more about what your farm is. And there, the pictures are beautiful with the northern lights. That's on my list of my bucket list is to see some northern lights. So,
yes, yes.
What's the best time to come to visit?
I have a button here to turn them on when people come. No. I mean the time the northern light we are burning out now. You understand me? It is, we can say, October, November, December, January, February, and then it was a northern light in yesterday. But we are. Like Iceland, a little bit in that way. It's a really dark in over this month. I was telling, but in the summertime we don't really have a darkness.
Right. So you're staying light almost all.
So
all day.
It's difficult to see northern light in the summertime.
Can people come and ride in the winter, or is it only in this?
Yeah. I have this day service. This day service all year round. Yes.
And how do they get from town, from the airport where they would fly into, to your place? Do you take them up?
Yeah, it's a bus system. It's a car rentals. I can also pick up. You know, it's many kinds.
Okay.
It is around. Probably 200 miles on road to go 150-200 miles. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
To go to Keflavik Airport to pick up.
Well, this is but very
we,
cool.
We are sending private guides, and we are here. We are offering also a guide who are staying with people all the time when they are in Iceland. You understand me? You can buy a private guide and a driver guide.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's very cool. I think this is wonderful. I know Iceland is becoming very popular for American horse people to go visit. We're seeing more and more of our friends heading to Iceland all the time. Now we're just
I am with a lot of American customers here. Yes.
We'll put a link to your website in our show notes so people can book and come out and check you out. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Take care. Did you ever have a desire to go to Iceland?
Oh, yes.
In the summer?
Oh, so bad. However, I want to see the northern lights. I was telling Chad, you know, I had my little like scare, and I was like a couple weeks ago, and I was like, all right, if I'm going to die soon, like what are some things I want to do? And I was like, okay, my life dream is to see the northern lights. Here's the problem.
It's winter.
I don't want to be cold.
You got a choice. Norway, Switzerland, Iceland, but it's all
Alaska,
cold.
It's all cold. It's all cold. We got a northern Canada, but it's like cold. And so then you want to go in the summer, but they're not there.
Well, yeah, because he made a good point. It doesn't get dark. So
it's not dark. I mean, so that's the thing is like you could see the northern lights, but you better have some heated clothing. But no, I would love that. I would love that. And I can't wait to try the Icelandic fish. So good.
You know, I don't think he understood that vegetarian. I don't think he got that.
It doesn't matter. No. It doesn't matter. He's so cute. And you could just hear him trying to find words. Like, I mean, this is not his first language. So it was really an interesting thing to just that's what's going to be cool about this segment is you're just diving into somebody else's culture and their country.
And you got to go to the website. We'll put a link to it. The pictures are just stunning. I mean, Iceland pictures are just stunning anyway. But, I mean, his pictures are extra stunning. I didn't realize it was that far from town. What do you say, 200 kilometers? About 100 miles from town.
Am I a moron for not knowing that the only types of horses in Iceland were Icelandic?
I didn't know that. I knew that, you know, they were, everybody goes there to ride Icelandic, but I didn't know that they were the only ones there.
I didn't. I mean, I do. Obviously, I knew that Icelandic ponies are in Iceland, yeah. But I just thought maybe they had, like, you know,
some quarter horses,
a quarter horse here and there.
I didn't picture them having Andalusians, but maybe some quarter horses.
Yeah, I, right. You know what? We're probably going to get that.
Or some draft horses for working the farms and stuff. But
yeah, how dare you not know that? I don't place in Iceland with anything else.
Well, look,
than
we're
Iceland.
Learning today, too. We're here to learn. We'll level up your horse's performance this season with choices from Purina Animal Nutrition. From Purina Altium Competition Formula to Purina Impact Pro Performance and everything in between. Purina has the right option for your horse, including supplements like Purina Super Sport Amino Acid Supplement and Purina Amplify High Fat Supplement. And, of course, Purina Outlast Gastric Support Supplement. There are many choices for optimal nutrition when you choose Purina, and they're all backed by science. Level up your performance this season and put Purina's research to the test. Ask for Purina at your local feed retailer today. You know, I was thinking, you know, you've been on many equestrian vacations, and I was thinking, I haven't really been on any equestrian vacations. We try and get away from the horses. Then I remembered we did this little road show for 6 weeks where we visited 10 listener farms in 14 states. I would say that was kind of the ultimate equestrian vacation.
Well, you put up a post on the auditor's Facebook page, which I'm assuming is going to have a segment later on.
Yes.
But it was like, what are some of your husband's hobbies or your wife's hobbies?
Yeah, that'll be on the horse husband show this week. Yep.
If they're not horses. And I started thinking, I'm like, I don't have any other hobbies. Like, well, I was thinking Chad, he likes motorcycles.
He
plays golf. He, you know, he has lots of, say, flies. He loves to fly little planes. Like, he has all these hobbies. And mine is only horses.
Well, you can't.
And so when, that's not a hobby. That's going to the gym.
Oh, yeah. That's a workout. Yeah.
It's a workout and it's not super fun. I mean, come on. So anyway.
When would you have time or money for a hobby?
I don't. So that's the problem is all your travel, it's only horses. I travel for horses. And that is simply because I really don't care about anything else.
I just described 90% of our audience.
Right? I would love to but a lot of our listeners have like cool hobbies. Like, I don't know if I could crochet or read, I just don't sit still very well. So it's like ADD issue. And like, I don't know what it is. I can't focus on the only thing that makes me focus is horses. And it makes me work hard. It makes me focus, but I have nothing else in my life. So when I go on a vacation, if I don't do something with horses, I didn't take a vacation. So you asked me about the ranch I went to in Wyoming.
Yes. Yeah, you went there several times. I know you've talked about it on the show, but that's been a while ago. So
the first time I went there, I was 6 years old with my parents.
To this ranch, Triangle X?
To Triangle X Ranch in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. My parents, my dad, Clark Griswold, put us in a motorhome.
He's and there right now, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He put us in a motorhome and drove us across the country. From Atlanta all the way up to this ranch in Wyoming. And we went everywhere. We were gone for, I don't know, 9 years or
it's
something.
It's right in the Grand Teton, isn't it?
It's in the Tetons. Yeah, it's the most beautiful place on earth. Like, if you were to, like, where is the most beautiful place on earth? It is this area. It's in Moose, Wyoming, Jackson Hole. The Tetons are there. There's just nothing more spectacular. And so I went there as a kid. And then, I don't know, I had broken up with a boyfriend and we had a vacation planned and we were going to go to like Costa Rica or something exotic. And all of a sudden I broke up with a boyfriend and I had a week of vacation. And I was like, what do I want to do? And harken back to City Slickers. I'm like, I want to go be a cowgirl. So I went to that website you were talking about, duderanch.com or whatever. And I started looking at all the different dude ranches and clicking on the links. And I was like, every single one of these like working cow ranches, the people in the pictures looked really tired, like really grizzled, sweaty.
They looked like City Slickers.
Tired, like they had been working cows all day. And I just thought, I don't want to be that tired. So I was like, you know what? I know this place, Triangle X. I went there when I was 6 years old. I wonder if it's still around. I found it still there. And so I booked a trip there. And went by myself to Wyoming, and they have these little tiny little cabins. And so I booked a cabin, and I just went by myself.
How hard was that for you to do a trip like that by yourself at that time?
You know what? Not hard at all, okay. Because I had just broken up with this guy and like finally shook him, you know, and just wanted to get away. Hmm. To be fair, I probably wanted to go meet some hot ranch cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny because here's the full circle. I'll speed through the trip. I did meet a guy there and he lived in Philadelphia. And after this, I went home, I started a new job, and he and I kept in touch on MySpace. And I was miserable with my job. And he's like, just come and visit me. I was like, okay, I have money and nothing to do. I have no hobbies besides horses. And they boarded that one. So I hopped on a plane like the next day, hopped on a plane to go to Philadelphia. Do you know who I sat next to on the airplane?
The trip where you met Chad. So it's Triangle X's fault that you met Chad.
I have since been back there several times. Now they've had me back to train some horses, and they have a list. They have like a Triangle X marriages list that they do, like people who work there get married, mm-hmm. or all the people. I'm on that list of Jack because we met because of the Triangle X ranch. So yeah, I was going to visit this guy in Philly who used to work at Triangle X, and sat next to Chad, and it was all history after that. So anyway,
one of the things I remember about you saying about this ranch, because you brought Chad and actually your son when he was pretty young, but that there was a lot of stuff for them to do, not just horses.
Yeah. So you have a choice of, you know, there's several different kinds of rides. There's like, you know, for kids, it's awesome for kids. I mean, especially if you want your kids to go do their own thing. They have great people that take care of the kids. They ride in the arena. They take them on trail rides. The horses are so impeccably trained. It's amazing. They have different rides. You take a ride twice a day. You can ride in the morning, and they're all trail rides in the most amazing scenery. Then there's also the Triangle X float trips. You can take a float trip. You can go fly fishing. You can, there's obviously you're near Jackson Hole. So there's that whole thing. Actually, what's really cool in Jackson Hole is if you go into Jackson Hole, the ski slope that they have in the summertime, they make it like, they have like a slide down rides, and they have a lot of stuff that they incorporate with the ski slope. You can go to the gondola at the top of the mountain in the summertime. It's amazing. So there is tons of stuff around there, but also just the ranch has a lot of different activities, like Wyoming type activities. And I know that it is expensive. I know, but you have to understand they are the only ranch people that lease any land in the entire forest there in the national park. So they're a national park vendor. So they have to pay the national park to lease the land. They have probably 75 to 100 horses at any time. There is each person has a cabin, right? So like you have your own cabins. There's tons of infrastructure. There's girls that clean your cabins every day. And then there's the meals. And the meals three times a day are absolutely phenomenal. And as a vegetarian in Wyoming, they were like, sure. They made me my own meal every single time. So the food is incredible. There's fellowship. There's people. There's a hot tub. There's a huge outside area you can sit.
And they have the fires hang every night and all that stuff.
Well, I've only been in, like, when I would go as a guest, it was July. So I didn't want to sit near a fire. You know, like, it's been hot all day. But then, like, some days we would be riding, it would just start pouring down rain. It's just like, you feel like such a cowgirl. I mean, I don't have any connection with these people now. But Triangle X is where I would recommend if you want to do some beautiful riding and some beautiful scenery, need some good food and have some other activities to do and a great place for families. I would recommend Triangle X. I've been there a ton. I've also been there to help train some horses ever since. Now, the funny thing too, is the guy who was the guide, he ran the ranch when I was a guest there, his name is TJ. He's the cowboy that works in Colorado now at the ranch where Zeus is.
Oh.
And So that is full circle.
Yeah.
This ranch has affected my existence and they don't even know it. So it's pretty cool.
And they've been around for, it looks like they're the same family for it says five generations. That's 120 years.
It's literally Yellowstone, the movie, where it's 1923,
without
1847,
the murders and death.
Without death and murder. It's just that kind of it's like that, but the Kevin Costner character's name is Harold.
Do they do any cow work?
No, there's no cows.
No cows.
You don't have to sweat a bit.
you don't have to jump in the dirt with the cows. Nothing like
in
that.
In the winter, I spent New Year's there one time. We went cross country skiing. They're open all year round. Yeah, and it was awesome. So the snow is up to the windows, and it's just awesome. I love that place. I need to go back. Dang it.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I took my dad there as an adult.
Do they have a chuck wagon? I've always wanted to go to a ranch that had a chuck wagon because that's the part I want to do. I want to drive the chuck wagon and help cook on the chuck wagon.
They do a dinner ride and a breakfast ride where you get on your horse and they go up there and then they bring all the food and cook it for you at this area. They do lunch rides. They do. Yeah, it's some meals are in the bunkhouse and some are on the horseback. And you ride to where the food is set up for you, either at the top of a mountain, the lunch rides down by the river, the breakfast. I never did a breakfast ride, to be fair. I didn't want to get up that early.
I want you to go to TriangleX.com right now, Jamie.
Okay.
Look at the cover shot and look at the second horse from the right. See the second horse from the right in the cover shot?
In the dapple gray?
No. Oh, you're seeing a different picture than me. The second horse from the right, there's big mountains in the background. The second horse from the right is buggy-eyed. Looks like he's about ready to spook.
There's a buggy change. Okay,
yeah.
On. Oh, yeah.
He looks like, oh, my God, what the heck's going on?
Actually, what I see in that picture is that she has way too tight a hold, and he's got a curb bit in, and he is reacting to
mad.
The pressure on his mouth.
That was Scooter my entire drive yesterday. He looked like that.
Oh, did he? Loosen your
buggy
reins. Buggy-eyed. Tell her, so you need to loosen your reins.
I don't think my reins were quite that tight, except when he bolted. But he had that look.
By the way, the guy in the front that's leading that ride, his name is Lucas Turner, and he is one of the more beautiful humans that I've ever seen in life.
You mean physically beautiful or internally beautiful?
Yes. I don't know internally. I just saw the external end.
And there you go. There's your complete report for.
I probably shouldn't have said that. Dang it. Don't send this to them.
And we'll hear more about Jamie's adventures around the world on Wednesday and Friday and have a bunch more guests for you on this travel week. We're just inspiring you to go out and do something fun this year and go
to Triangle X. You can meet your husband. There you
That's right, apparently. And you can get a training gig too. So thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We'll be doing more of this all week long. Hang on, auditors. We're going to ask about whether Jamie got that sad case of a horse that she got suckered into in Craigslist on Friday. And we're going to do some question first world problems as well in the post show. So hang on for that. Well, tomorrow on the show, we have the Qi University. We're going to be here talking about Eastern medicine, about Chinese medicine with your horses. And then we have horse husbands coming up later in the week. And I have a special guest for your horse husbands, nothing to do with horses at all. This is to do with hobbies. And his name is Gabe. He's one of my oldest podcasting friends, and he has one of the most popular YouTube channels on golf. And Chad would like this channel because it tries out. You don't want him to go to this channel.
No, you know what? I'm sure he already watches it.
Because that it's all about product testing.
great. More stuff to buy.
Exactly. But that's what he says when you get on this show and end up buying stuff all the time. So that'll be coming up. By the way, it's International Waffle Day, so go have a waffle.
I'm going to. Spade it or yelled.